We're going to be reading from Psalm 23, the whole psalm, Psalm 105 a little bit, and Hebrews. When you read Psalm 23, there's only one version, King James. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So on to Psalm 105, verses 4 and 5. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. Then over to Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
I'm just going to give you a little warning that tonight will probably be, no, not even probably, it will be a little unorthodox. But I hope you don't mind. I've just come from camp, and my daughter, who just graduated, she's actually directing a camp, and she's my boss for the week. And man, she's a toughie. I'm like, what in the world? But I just have to sit there. You know, probably the hardest thing I do at camp this week is bite my tongue. And I allow her the freedom to learn, right? But it's good. She's doing a great job. One thing about the configuration of chairs, I just have to, if I come again, when I come again, I'm going to have to rethink where I sit, because all I do is stare at John. I'm like, well, I don't know if the scenery's gotten any better or what, but anyway, no. It's good. It was good, but I noticed it right away. Anyway, as I said, I've been at camp this week, and I'm just, perhaps I will just give you a little taste of camp. Hopefully I promise that this will be the only time I ever do this song. Okay. Now you're all really wondering. And this song's so good, I don't even have to tune my guitar. You're really wondering now. Anyway, I just wanted to give you a little taste of camp, because at camp, as in life, we're often introducing Jesus to people who, like I said, who have never heard of Jesus, who have never even thought of Jesus, and now you're bringing them into a space, and you're welcoming them into a space, and how do they enter into that? How do they come to that place where you can just have a little chat with them, that you have a chance to focus? Well, at camp, we often use songs to bring people into those spaces. And I want to say that they're not always, I don't always start with like a beautiful song that DK sang. So if this is not a beautiful song, but hopefully you can enjoy this. So this is maybe something I would do to bring the kids in. Oh, I had a little chicken and it wouldn't lay an egg. So I poured hot water up and down its leg. Poured hot water up and down its leg. Darned old chicken laid a boiled egg. Boiled egg, a boiled egg. Darned old chicken laid a boiled egg. Oh, I had a little chicken and it wouldn't lay an egg. So I poured hot chocolate up and down its leg. Poured hot chocolate up and down its leg. Darned old chicken laid an Easter egg, an Easter egg, an Easter egg. Darned old chicken laid an just to let you know, it's okay to smile. We can put our Baptist roots behind us a little bit. Oh, I had a little chicken and it wouldn't lay an egg. So I chased my dog up and down its leg. Chased my dog up and down its leg. Darn old chicken laid a poached egg. Poached egg, poached egg. Darn old chicken laid a poached egg. Oh, I had a little chicken and it wouldn't lay an egg. So I chased old John up and down its leg. Chased old John up and down its leg. Darn old chicken laid a rotten egg. A rotten egg, a rotten egg. Darn old chicken laid a rotten egg. I may never get invited back after that verse. Oh, I had a little chicken and it wouldn't lay an egg. So I wrapped Manitoba all around its leg. Wrapped Manitoba all around its leg. Darn old chicken laid Winnipeg. Winnipeg, Winnipeg. Darn old chicken laid Winnipeg. Last one. Oh, I had a little chicken and it wouldn't lay an egg. So I poured gunpowder up and down its leg. Poured gunpowder up and down its leg. Darn old chicken laid a hand grenade. Hand grenade, hand grenade. Darn old chicken laid a hand grenade. Well, believe it or not, if people laugh at you, sometimes they listen to you. So I just put all my pride away and go for that. Anyway, thank you for letting me do that. But I just wanted to bring that to you because, you know what, this week, like I said, I've been at camp. And it just going back, I haven't worked at a camp for a while in Sundry. And so this week I walked in, and on Monday I walked into camp to be, you know, I used to direct camps there. I used to be the head wrangler. I used to do everything. I was really Mr. Pioneer. I directed three or four camps in a summer. I walked in, nobody knows me. There's a short-lived memory of Pioneer. But, and then I walked in, and the first thing I discovered was the bathrooms were plugged up and they were starting to flood. And so I spent 6 hours fixing bathrooms, vacuuming up floors and mopping floors. And I said, where is the glory in this? And I said, welcome back to camp, because that's one thing we used to do a lot of. So anyways, it was good to go back. Even if that happened, it just made me laugh all the time. But I missed friends. I missed Clancy Thiessen, who was a site manager, and we used to share that duty once in a while. I missed our friend Sam, because he was a site manager. I said, man, Sam, I've been thinking of you all day. Where are you? Because I don't want to do this. And then, but it was good. And I shared that chuckle with a few friends in the midst of all that stuff. But as being there has reminded me of some great things and maybe some not so great things. So it's been wet at camp, right? Last 2 days. And I walked in this morning and there are probably at least two pairs of shoes for every kid, some rubber boots. And I got to tell you, before you see them, you smell them. And I just remember the glorious smell of little children's feet as if you have over 60 or probably 120 pairs of shoes laying on the floor. And I was like, oh man, I don't miss this smell at all. But it did remind me of a favorite little story of mine that happened a long time ago, probably 35 years ago. We began this camp that they're having this week, and it's called Discovery Camp, and it's for grade 1, 2, and 3 children, which is a real young age to have a camp. But it's a good time because these kids come with incredible enthusiasm. That's one thing you don't have to worry about. They come with enthusiasm and they are come with energy. Doesn't matter how tired they are, they're all awake at 6:30 in the morning and they're all ready to get going. And it was usually 3 nights. And so I remember after the third night, we have one last little half of a day left. And as a director, I used to walk around the room and just check in with the tables as they're sitting there having breakfast. And as I'm walking around, I mean, we got to remember, these are little people. And as I walk around, I just happen to look over, and there's this one little boy. And the tiniest little tears are coming out his eyes. And I went over to him, and he sort of slunk down in his chair, so you don't even hardly see him. And I went up, and I can't even remember his name, but I just went up and said, wow, what's wrong? And he said, I can't get any breakfast. And here he is just tucked to the table. And the food's right in front of him, right? He is so tired. And the reason he couldn't get any breakfast in his eyes was he couldn't see his cabin leader. And that's one of the reasons I think that he didn't have the strength to do anything about it. He was just so weary and so tired. So I said, you know what? Let me help you. So I got him to stand up, and he didn't get any taller standing up, believe it or not. And I said, well, you know, first thing we're going to do is we're going to turn your shirt from inside out and backwards, because it was one of those little golf shirts, but it was on backwards and inside out. Like, he was having a rough morning. So we got that turned around. We got him all set up. And then I said, now, if you kneel on your chair, we'll get you some breakfast. So he knelt on his chair, and I said, and watch this. And I moved the cereal box so he could see his cabin leader. And his face just lit up, because all of a sudden he felt like he had hope. He had somebody to help him. Now, I was right there helping him, but that it was so important for him to see his cabin leader. And I said to the cabin leader, he's been having a rough time over here. Well, I didn't see him. I said, I know, but now you do. And after that, he was taken care of, and he had a great, great day. And, you know, as I found, as I was thinking about that, I thought, so often in our lives, we have the same thing happen to us. We lose sight of the shepherd. Those three scriptures tonight spoke of keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. Now, Psalm 105 and Hebrews 12 says, Hebrews 12, 2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus. But there's more to it. The author and perfecter of faith. Reminding us that our faith isn't something that we build, but rather it is something that comes from Jesus Christ himself. Through the power of God, we are made faithful and we grow in our faith. He's the author of that. But it's only possible if we see him. Now, I want us to look at these scriptures in a couple ways. One is, we need to be doing that as people. We need to be doing that. But you know what? There are times in our lives when it seems like there's a cereal box between us and God. And when we're so tired and weary that we don't know and we don't feel that we have the abilities to even see him. And we need others to come along beside us to say, let me help you. Let me help you see the face of Jesus. Not let me be the face of Jesus, but let me help you see the face of Jesus. And just like that little boy, he sees his cabin leader, and all of a sudden he has hope. All of a sudden he's energized to eat breakfast, and all of a sudden he's got enthusiasm for the day. Whereas 3 minutes before, he was just this teary-eyed little boy, felt lost in the midst of 100 people, felt invisible, felt unseen, unknown. So I want to use these scriptures tonight to maybe encourage you, or maybe to help you to find some tools how we can keep our eyes on Jesus and maybe remove that cereal box that might be blocking your view. And I'm just going to talk quickly about three different things that came to my mind as I was preparing for this that I think are important for us all to keep mindful of. First off, coming out of Psalm 23, because, you know, so often we read Psalm 23 and we're kind of maybe distant to it. But really, it was a psalm that was written by David, but most people that studied this said it came from later on in David's life. So as David wrote Psalm 23, he's thinking back, he's reflecting back to God's faithfulness. He's reflecting back to those seasons in his life when he looked to God and God proved himself true and worthy and eternal and powerful and purposeful. So it's a great psalm. So the first thing came to my mind is we need to keep our eyes on Jesus if we're going to know him and walk in step with him. Psalm 23 is all about sheep and shepherd. And if we know anything about sheep and shepherd, it's that, yes, there's going to be moments where life happens and we don't go too far, but eventually we're going to journey together. We're going to go to new lands. We're going to go to new areas. Because if we don't, it just gets stagnant, whether it's the water or whether we run out of grass. So we will be moved on to new pastures. We'll be moved on to new waters. We will journey together. But if a sheep is not looking to the shepherd, they won't know when to move. They won't see those moments where the shepherd starts to make preparations starts to set about himself so that he moves the herd, moves his people, moves his sheep. David wrote this reflecting back. But the point of it is not to say to you, now when you get to a certain age, you look back and it's like, no, I want to encourage you to be looking to Jesus or your shepherd now. Now, David didn't know Jesus, but we do. And that's our point, is we want to keep our eyes on him. And we can look to David. We can read all about him. We read those moments where his eyes were on the Lord, on his shepherd. We also read those moments. And some of those times are good, and sometimes are very difficult. But we also read of times where David took his eyes off the Lord. The most famous one being when he quit looking to the Lord and he started to look around the rooftops of Jerusalem. And we know the story and the tragedy of what happened after that. So keep our eyes on Jesus if we're going to know him and walk in step with him. So I want to do this. I want to encourage you in that. But I also want to encourage you to walk with others. Keep your eyes open. And when you see people crying, when you see people feeling helpless, unable to see Jesus, come beside them and help them. The second thing we learn from these scriptures is that we will experience faith and grow in faith as we journey with the shepherd. Isn't that an interesting thing? You know, I think of, if you think of the context of livestock or any of that, you know, most ranchers or friends that I know that ranch and have their cattle out on the lease, I'm going to move to cattle for a second because that's what we do, but they often do not take any of their cows up into the hills until they're 3 years old, until they know their herd and they know how to move with the herd. Because I can tell you, if you take a whole bunch of two-year-olds up into the mountains, up into the foothills where the grazing leases are, you may not ever see them again. Because they spook, they run. They're just like teenagers. And I have two of those, and there's a bunch of boys in our church like that, and they just remind me of a bunch of yearling cattle. They sort of hang around with each other, but something spooks them and they go in all different directions and it takes you forever to get them back. No. But we understand that. We understand that we've experienced it. So to experience faith and grow in faith as we journey, we will experience faith and grow in faith as we learn to walk in step with him in his ways. And see, that is the thing that sometimes is so hard. We like to say, well, I'm walking with Jesus and I'm going over here. That's not walking with Jesus. That is walking in your own ways, with your own goals and desires. We need to walk in step with him at his pace, in his purpose, for his glory. And when we do, we can go through some of the most rugged, hard things. But we don't lose sight of God because suddenly our picture gets a lot bigger. Because our picture goes beyond just today. It goes beyond next year. It goes into eternity where we can know and trust God that he has got the big, big picture, his big picture in play. And so we as his people need to do that. You know, going back to David now, just for a second. I was thinking about David as I talked about this because he was discovering a new faith in God and having to trust God because as a young boy, he was anointed king of Israel. But it did not come with the fame and glory that a lot of people receive anointing like that. It actually came with, King Saul was chasing around trying to take his life. Saul saw him as a threat, not an answer to God's plan, but as a threat to his throne. And so David and his men ran around the countryside, fleeing Saul. And this is one of the moments where David knew that he had to trust in his shepherd. And as they fled, they ran into the hills, and it said that for a couple different times, they were hiding in caves. And Saul was right there in front of him, sleeping, and they're hiding in a cave. And then Saul goes to relieve himself in this cave, and his men go, David, now's your chance. Kill him. kill your enemy. And both times, David, he could have taken things in his own hands. He could have said, I trust God, but I'm going to do this. But he said, no, that his life is not for me to take. I will trust in the Lord. And I see those as great faith moments. His life is in danger. But before he did those things and take a life to try to stop that, first he put his life, his faith in God. And that's a great lesson for us to learn. If God is our perfecter, author and perfecter of faith, that means he will take us through places. Not that he creates those places and spaces, but he will walk with us through spaces and places where our faith is grown in him because we will rely on him. They will seem like desperate times. They will seem like impossible times. They will seem, could seem like hopeless times. As we in our church family have three different people going through cancer situations, I think these are those moments. But they're not just for them, but the people, our congregation around them. As a congregation, we feel helpless. How do we help this young mom and her family? How do we come beside them? How do we love them? We want to see her restored to health, but it does not seem to be helping. All the prayer, it doesn't seem to be helping. But I'm like, you know what? It's more important that God is doing his work in the lives of her children, the lives of her husband, her life. I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I do know that God is bigger than the roar and the power of the sea. And that he has eternity in store for her and for her family and for us. So how do we live as faithful people in the midst of that? How do we help her grow in faith as well, making sure that she can see Jesus and not just say, read your Bible? How do we come beside her? How do we help her? How do we help her kids? We need to let the Lord set our steps. The third thing I think we can think of as we read those scriptures, and there's lots of things to think of, but I'm only going to give you three. But it's this: when in doubt, we have his life story to remind us that he journeyed with his Father, and even in the midst of death, he experienced resurrection and glory. See, there's our hope. There's our hope. It's not just the Bible saying, oh, just believe and everything will be just fine. No. The book of Hebrews says this. It says, Jesus went through this, and we can trust him because he not only went through it and experienced it, but then he found resurrection and glory in his ascension and seated next to his Father. And he has said, and I am going to prepare a place for you. You can trust. I'm the way and the truth and life. So friends, we need to remember that. When in doubt, remember his story. Remember that the hope he brings. And remember it's real. And that as we walk with him, our faith will be grown. And he'll bring it to a place of perfection. Isn't that awesome? I think that perfection will be in glory when we are there with him. So tonight I want to leave you with two tools. Hopefully they're tools that you can use to help you to see and look to Jesus, to help you keep your eyes and heart fixed on him. The first one is this. Through this last month, I discovered just a little, it's a book of liturgy that a friend gave us. And I'm not very Anglican, so it took me a little while to get past the liturgy part, but I don't mind it. It's good. But it's not your typical, what I would call, it's not your typical, what we'd say, Anglican liturgy. It's a book written by a fellow by the name of Doug McKelvey. And he has all these little liturgies or little prayers or little things to think on through different situations. As I was reading the book, I came across one that spoke true to my heart. It's called The Liturgy for the Ritual of Morning Coffee. How many of you want that? Thank you for laughing, because it's really good. But I want to give this to you. So there's a few of these little bookmarks on the back table back there. I encourage you to grab one, or if you have a friend that may need one, grab one for your friend. And if we run out, I can always make more. I'm back next week without the chicken. But I just want to read you through this little tool. And that's all it is. Like, there you may find things, but I just find this helpful. I found this helpful for me as I take my coffee in the morning, as I have my coffee in the morning, and it causes me to fix my eyes on Jesus. Not just for that moment, but through the day. It prepares me. It sets me up for the day. This is what it says. Meet me, O Christ, in the stillness of morning. Move me, O Spirit, to quiet my heart. Mend me, O Father, from yesterday's harms. From the discords of yesterday, resurrect my peace. From the discouragement of yesterday, resurrect my hope. From the weariness of yesterday, resurrect my strength. From the doubts of yesterday, resurrect my faith. From the wounds of yesterday, resurrect my love. Let me enter this new day aware of my need and awake to your grace, O Lord. Amen. Aren't those beautiful words? Just something to think about. But as I've taken to reading this, it helps me just to be aware of my need for God to do a work in my life. And it takes me off my path and allows me to be set on the path that God has for me. And it is a good thing. The last one is something that it's actually something I was teaching the kids last night. So these are little kids. And they've entered into camp at Pioneer Camp. Not all of them will ever stay there or come there again. But there's a lot that have just begun a journey of summer camp, of hearing about Jesus and of having fun in the foothills of Alberta. And part of our traditions, we do a few different things around camp, but in the evening, as we wrap up the day, we do two things. One is we sing two songs. And the first song is Abide With Me, and the second song is Taps, as we bring close to the day. It was so interesting last night. Here's these little kids, you know, in summer at campfire, and they're dressed in their little pajamas, and they got their little fleece blankets, and they're all just kind of cozy. We were inside, but it was still pretty funny. But you're explaining this to them, like, you guys are in the beginning of a journey, and the point is that you will remember these words. And here's what these words mean. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. It's nighttime's coming, the darkness is coming. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. As other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, Lord, abide with me. Now, it's a wonderful hymn, number 63 in your hymnal, by the way. If you want to ever read it and read the full hymn, we just sing the first verse. But here's the great story. I've got a friend who lives out in the West Coast. She's going through a divorce, the loneliness, the hurt, the despair, brokenness. And I've been walking with her, trying to help her see Jesus. Take that cereal box away, right? And it's been great as I've been visiting with her, and she's out of other friends too doing that. But it's been great as she is suddenly, and praying with her, as she is suddenly starting to pray back. And all of a sudden she's seeing God. The other night she was going through a bit of despair the other evening. And I said, you remember back in camp at the end of the day when it just seemed like darkness was coming? We would sing Abide With Me. She said, yes. I said, let me sing it for you. I sang it. And it was amazing. Not right then, but 3 days later, she wrote a little note that just said, thank you for reminding me of God's faithfulness. In the darkness, in the hopelessness, in my despair, in my discouragement, in my anxiety and worry, I see Him. And I thought, what a great... We have sung that song. I've sung that song for 42 years now. And it was so good to be reminded of God's faithfulness through that. So I want to close up tonight by just singing that, just the first verse. If you know it, you're welcome to join. And then we'll turn it over to our worship team.
Abide with me. Fast falls eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, Lord, abide with me.
Heavenly Father, thank you for that little hymn that reminds us that you are there to help the helpless, the shepherd helping the sheep, setting us on a path, helping us see you, authoring our faith, perfecting our faith. I thank you for your word that reminds us that we are to keep our eyes on you, but not in a condemning way, but a way of saying, keep your eyes on me. I'm your hope. I'm your salvation. And I love you. You are mine. Psalm 23, it says, your rod and your staff, they bring me comfort. Your staff, your rod of protection, and your staff that draws us to yourself. Lord, help us all. Be with us all. And may we be encouraged as we keep our eyes on you. And help us to be aware of the needs of others around us, so that we can come beside them, bring comfort, maybe remove a cereal box so they can see your face. So that they can know hope and be strengthened and encouraged to go on as you do a work in their lives. Oh Lord, we love you. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thanks for your word. Be with my friends. Bless them. Bless them richly with your presence, the moving of your Spirit. In your name we pray.